in Jesus' name.
John chapter 14, verse number 2, Jesus said, if it wasn't so, I'd have told you.
Amen.
Amen. I heard nothing no different.
Not only has it not been told, but I'll tell you what, buddy, no eye has seen, no ear has ever heard, never has it entered into the heart of man. Things God has prepared for those that love Him and look to His appearing. Amen.
Amen.
We've had all kind of trouble this recorded. The last two nights have somehow failed not to record, and I guess the Lord would have it to be such. I ain't going to say anything other than I just hope it works tonight, because I can already tell we've got more than we need here tonight. You know, when it comes to God, we're not at a loss, we're at a gain.
Amen.
I mean, He told Abraham, He said, when I couldn't swear by no greater, He said, I swore by my own name to Abraham that it'd be so. And Abraham, he wasn't Baptist. The Bible said he staggered not at the promise of God. He was rich in faith, so much that he even believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead if need be for him to kill him. Don't tell me Abraham didn't have no faith. He said he even believed God was even able to raise him from the dead. For a priest tonight, I want to share a couple nuggets from the Word of God just to encourage you a little bit. I hope we don't fall over here. We'll run a little lean on this side over here. But in Proverbs chapter 4, I shared this with a brother early this week. Proverbs chapter 4, let me see, I got the verse here. Verse number 22. I know you never thought about reading the Bible like this before, but in Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 20 down to verse 22, it says, my son, Let not my word depart from thine eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life to all of those that find them. And listen to this. Hail to the flesh. Everybody wants to be healthy, don't you? I don't want cancer. I'm 62 years old, never broke a bone, I don't take anything but a hard way to go with my wife every now and then. But you know, I tell you what, I spent a lot of time. Them two tablets Moses brought down off of Mount Sinai pretty good. But the greatest pill is the gospel. It'll cure anything. It'll raise the dead, amen. I mean, I was as good as dead in trespasses and sins. And that gospel brought me back to life, amen. But look, you never thought about the Bible being healthy. Look at that. Proverbs chapter 4. Now, if God says something in here, it's the purest truth there is. Don't even think nothing, but that's what you need to do. He says, verse number 22, talking about His Word. His words are life unto those that find Him. You want to live? Well, in Him you live and move and have your being, according to Acts 17. But look at there. Not only is it life, it's health. You want to be healthy? Spend a little time in here. Spend so much time here, you come like Moses. I put a veil over your face because you're shining so much with the Shekinah glory of God. Now, Job 37, I'm just sharing you a couple nuggets here. We're going to preach here. Job 37, verse 7. Now, I know we're smart and all that, you know, and our scientists, they're so smart and all that, but long before everybody got all good and smart here, God put a verse in here, and I want you to listen to this. Job 37, verse 7. Talking about God. He filleth up the hand of every man. Listen to what you're reading here. He filleth up the hand of every man, that all men everywhere, that all men may know His work. Now the FBI know that they can track you by this seal that God put upon your hand. Now, every atheist looking Him right in the face is the endorsement of His Creator, and there's no sense arguing with it. He put one on your hand, and He put one on my hand, and He said, long before man ever had a PhD, posthole digger, whatever, He said, hey, I seal up the hand of every man that all men may know my work. Now, Pastor Brother Philip mentioned he was reading there, and Amos there, and I thought he was going to get my verse there real quick there, but he's talking about woe unto them that are at ease in Zion, and we are. And the Bible does say there's going to be a great falling away. And except there come a falling away, the day of the Lord can't come. So we're kind of victims of prophecy, but you don't have to like it. But in Amos chapter 5, Verse number 8, I got me a new Bible here. If I brought my old one, y'all laughed. And I hated to get this new one because I know where everything is in that old one. But Amos chapter 5, listen to this. Amos 5 verse 8. Seek Him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into morning, and make the day dark with night, and calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is His name. Those seven stars of Orion. Now we got some smart people down here, but you know the wisdom of this world is foolish with God, and He commanded men everywhere to repent anyway. They got that best telescope, Brother Todd. And they looked up there, and I mean out of the reach of men, and they looked, and there was only six stars of Orion. They said, whew, man, we thought there was something to that book. Well, they sent this thing in space called the Hubble telescope. And when they finally got it up there, way out of the reach of all the telescopes down here and all the eyeballs down here and all the scientific means down here, when that Hubble telescope finally arrived up there and they fired that thing up, guess how many stars there were at Orion? Wonder how that guy Amos knew to put that down. I wonder who told him Orion had seven stars. I just want you to understand, there's a reason I believe.
Amen.
I've been thoroughly convinced. I never will forget the day He took His rightful place upon the throne of my heart and I became whole. Man, I tell you, I went and looked in the mirror and that mirror couldn't show it, but I couldn't hide it neither. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I feel preaching tonight. I just wanted to share them with you. The fingerprint. Tell that to the atheist friends. Them seven stars, you got somebody you know that seems to be intellectually smart. I'm not. I was smart enough, however, to get saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright, Acts chapter number 16. We'll start our reading in verse number 25. Acts 16. I enjoyed that singing. Mighty, I didn't realize it was going to be that good. I'd had that recorder going a whole lot earlier. I like good singing. Man, I like it on that fashion. Just rear back and let it rip. My pastor said we sing by the letter. Rear back and let her go. Amen. Hallelujah. That's some of that what I like right there. Rear back and let her go. All right. Acts 16, starting in verse number 25. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keepers, and the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in. I like that word, sprang in. And came trembling. I like that word too. And fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoice, believing in God with all his house. I will stop our reading right there. Thank you so much for standing for the Word of God. Pray with us, please. Father, we thank you. Lord, this revival, Lord, has exceeded my expectations. And we thank you. I had no idea you could use someone as worthless and insignificant as I am. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that again you could use this vessel, Lord. It's Lord, nothing to boast of. I'm like Paul. My boast is in the Lord. But I yield myself to You right now, Lord, and ask, dear Father, that even tonight, Lord, You could preach to me and through me. We know, Lord, dear Father, that, Lord, You chose the foolish of preaching to save them that believe. We know there's lost people, Lord, even here tonight. Lord, we know they need to be saved. We know You're the only one that can save. And I pray, dear Father God, tonight, Lord, You visit this place from on high. Lord, we just pray, Lord, You be glorified here tonight. Your Word says when You're lifted up, You'll draw all men to You, and I pray You will. Pray You'll help us, Lord, to be obedient from our heart. Every word of doctrine and the Holy Spirit and for all these things, we ask, Lord, Your blessed will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, preach tonight, if the Lord be our helper tonight, on the lost need help getting saved. Now this Philippian jailer, Paul and Silas, they got kind of like that Kim Davis kind of trouble. It's the right kind of trouble. Ain't nothing wrong being put in jail when you're standing for what's right. You know, they put her in jail, and I'm proud of her. You might not be, but I am. I wish we had some men with guts like she's got. That for conscience sake, she said, I just can't do it. You know, we need to get back to that. If the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing, only to be trodden underfoot. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything, amen. God help us to get up a little bit of backbone and say, no, we're not going to do it. My cousin, he ran with me going deer hunting, and I don't listen to nothing but preaching to Christian music like they were singing there a while ago, and he had about his fill of it, and he said, turn that off. I said, you ride with me, you're going to have to listen to that. He wanted to go hunting with me, so he had to listen to that. Pretty soon had his way with him, preacher. Next thing I know, he sat beside me in church, amen. Next thing I know, he done fell on the altar and rededicated his life and got up and said, I just want to thank the Lord that He hadn't given up on me. And he started getting his house in order. Him and his wife went out there to the movie theater to watch a movie. And somewhere in that movie, they took God's name in vain. He said, come on, we're out of here. Well, dear God, we can get some of that back. I'm so proud of Him. He said, come on, we're leaving right now. We got to get back to that. Don't you know God knows what we do? There's no hiding with Him. I like that song they sung about He loves me. Yes. The Bible said, having loved His own, He loved Him unto the end. And I tell you right now, greater love has no man than this. They lay down His life for His friends. Take a look at His friends and tell me how you can love them. But He loves me. He loves you. But we'll love Him enough to do what He said. He said, come out from among them, be His separate, saith the Lord. Now I'll be a father unto you, and you'll be my sons and my daughters. We need to live a consecrated life, beloved. Those people need help, and here's the kind of help they need. I appreciate the pastor being obedient to the Lord tonight. They need to be able to drive by a church. It's got praying people inside. It's got praising people inside. It's got people inside that love the Lord and ain't ashamed of Him, amen. I'm telling you, buddy, everything's falling by the wayside. And to some degree, the church has fallen a little bit from its steadfastness, but He hadn't changed. He's still the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He's the source of all our need and help, amen. I'm telling you, we're supposed to be strong in Him and power His might. Through Him, we can do all things. When you set your sight on Him, set it up there where it needs to be. Put it at the standard of excellence, amen.
Amen.
Lost need help. Paul and Silas, Brother Todd, they in jail. They ain't complaining, they singing. They beat them, they's glad just to be able to suffer for His name's sake. You know those light afflictions we complain about, you know. And you know the Bible said, knowing your brother and suffer the same affliction, but we think nobody's got it bad as we got it, brother. Ain't that something, amen? We think we got the worst. Nobody hurt. My wife always tell me, you don't know how bad my back feels. I said, honey, don't you remember when I went down to Bone and have that MRI done? I mean, it's not like I've never had any dose of pain, if you know what I mean. I just finally get to where I'd like coffee. I drink my coffee black, sister. I started out creamy sugar and then got down to sugar. Now I'm just as bitter as it is. Just bad, amen, grin and bad, go on. I'm telling you, everybody's got some kind of pain. Everybody's dealing with something. I don't want to dwell on it. I want to rise above it.
Amen.
You'll find out when you do, you'll be like Peter. You'll get out of the boat and you'll start walking on water. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Hey, I got my amen coin over here, brother. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like that. It's like saying singing to a dog. It gets me all fired up. Amen. I don't like preaching funeral homes. I like a little life. Y'all paint somebody. Somebody squall out every now and then. I'll bring a hanging aid tomorrow night. Amen. I'll get some life in here. I pull a pin on that hanging aid. I say, how many believe?
Yeah.
I say, prove it. We'll play hot potato. Now, Paul and Silas are in jail. They've been beaten. They're not complaining. They surely ain't Baptist preacher. They're singing.
Amen.
But you know what? Prisoners heard them. Lost people need to hear you.
Amen.
Talking about the Lord. Oh Lord, we had a good service last night. Woo-hoo! That preacher preached. Hallelujah. Got my face got loud. Hey man, they need to hear his brother Todd. They need to hear us talk about our Lord and our God. They need to hear us brag about him. They need to hear us do everything but complain. I'm telling you, how in the world can you complain when you got a place like heaven to look forward to? Amen. When you call heaven home, how in the world can you ever get the Mully Grubs? Man, how do you threaten somebody with heaven? I was up on the square up there one time preaching. And I'm just a rareback and let a rip preacher. I mean, I'm just kind of just roughing the cob. I'm really not very pedigree or refined or nothing. And this car pulling down the front of us up there and I'm screaming like a wild man. Bunch of young kids was in that car. This young boy got out with his buddies and I guess he wanted to show out a little bit. I don't know. But anyway, to a degree, the showing out, he turned around, Brother Todd, and he said, I'm coming back and I'm bringing my shotgun. I said, don't threaten me in heaven, buddy. I'll wait on you. He ducked that head and he's out of here. First time I ever preached upon the square. I'm sure Brother Philip probably had this happen. I was having me a pity party at the house. I said, Lord, you called me to preach and ain't nobody calling me. And I need somewhere to preach. And I'm having me a pity party right in the middle of that pity party. I don't know, God somehow brought the thought to my mind. You could go up there on the public square in Glasgow and preach. And before I had any sense about the thing, I said, Lord, you give me a message and I will. Fastest message I ever got in my life, brother. And with that message, there's the illustration come up my back about this wide. And that Sunday, it was on Saturday. I preached Saturdays. Anybody ever see a lady wait up on the square Saturdays at 9 o'clock? That was me up there hollering and screaming, acting like an idiot. I was a fool, but a fool for Christ. But I went up there every Saturday. A lot of people got saved up. I couldn't believe it. God, to God be the glory. But anyway, I want to tell you a little bit about the first time I get back to preaching. I've got liberty tonight. I know if you need to leave, by all means do, but I swear I'm enjoying myself here. Ooh, I drove up there, Brother Todd. And I'm down to about 10 mile an hour. Everybody behind me blowing the horn. And the devil's on my shoulder. You done it now, boy. And there's a yellow streak up my back. My knees are knocking worse than Ichabod Crane. And I pulled up there at the public square trying to figure out some way out of this. I couldn't. The car wouldn't blow up. And nothing. You know, I just knew I'd have a heart attack or something. Nothing happened. So here I am with the Bible. And I vowed. I told God I'd do it if He'd give me a message. I finally got out of that car and went over there and fell down on my knee and I said, Lord, I need your help. Please help me, I'm here. And got up and read my text and started preaching. And preacher, the anointing came. And I was glad for it. But just as soon as the anointing came, and I'm already over the fear now. I mean, I'm enjoying it. Ain't nobody, it ain't like people standing there saying, preach on, brother! Amen! I mean, they're driving by saying, and he'll rev in motors, you know, and this number and a few of them other obscene gestures. Right in the middle of all of that, two young men come running around the courthouse. I'm glad they didn't get there any earlier because I'm already in the spirit now. I'm ready for them now. But one of them come up there, Brother Todd, and he got right up in my face. And if you don't mind me using it, let me show you this young boy. He done this right here. He said, what are you doing? Oh, look at this young boy. I'm going to guess him about 17. I'm just hypothetically, you know. I look at this young boy, he's got contact lenses in his eyes. They're yellow with a black slit right in the middle of them, look like demon eyes. I look at this boy, and his black hair goes out like two big long horns that go out to right here. I guess I ain't got no hair to do that with, but I guess he got some out of jail. But I mean, there's two big long horns are out to here. He's got yellow eyeballs with a black slit in the middle of them. He's got the golf look. I mean, everything's black. He's got black, mascara and all of that. And I look at this young boy, and he looked at me like a demon straight from hell. And I said, young man, I'm preaching the word of God. I said, you get right over and you sit down. He said, yes, sir. And his buddy's down there snickering and laughing, but he did. He sat down right there, and I finished that message, and I went over to that young boy. I said, young man, Jesus loves you, buddy. I said, he loves you just like you are. I said, he won't leave you like you are, but he loves you just like you are. Lost people need to hear you.
That's right.
I said, you get over and you sit down, son. I went down there, his buddy down there had his shirt off, like me, I used to be in my field. He's down there with that, his shirt on. He's laughing at me talking this boy up there because I've got this demon boy here. And I mean, he ain't going nowhere. And I started towards that other boy and he run plumb out of his shoes. I mean, just left the country. I mean, he was out of here. So much. You know, I meet these big guys all the time. You know, and they're big, tough. If they're so big and tough, where are they at? Where's all these big, tough guys at? You get them to come. I've been in maximum security prison. You get them to come. You get them to sit down in the front row. Little brother Eddie, take it from there. I didn't find out God's bigger than any problem I got. Amen. Anybody wants to get a little brother Eddie, got to go through him and get to me. Another morning I was going to preach on the square. The Lord's just kind of leading this way. I didn't really mean to go this route. I'm just going to try to obey him, I guess. But I stopped at the Shell station on the way into Glasgow to get a bottle of water because it had been hot. I'd been running all my shirts up there, sweating and screaming, hollering and carrying on. I go in the Shell filling station there and I get me a bottle of water. And at that time, a bunch of Harley Davidson motorcycles pulled up out there. And this great old big guy come walking in there, you know. And on the side of my truck, got two signs. A party in hell has been canceled due to the fire. He comes straight to me. I looked up there at him. He said, is that your truck out there? I said, yes, sir, it is. I didn't really want no quarrel. I mean, the Bible, I done told y'all about that verse in Romans, if it be possible, as much as life, then you live peace with all men. I was trying. I said, yes, sir, it is. He said, so you're telling me I can't go down to hell and have a party? I said, hey, buddy, that's not scripture. That's just for thought. I said, you know, that's not Bible. I just had that sign made. I just want people to know that it's not going to be a party down in hell. And he's kind of, you know, he didn't want to let go there. He said, so you're telling me I can take my girlfriends and all my buddies and go down and have a big time? I said, hey, buddy, I done told you. I said, that ain't scripture. It's just you know, a thought. And I started out the door, and I'll tell you what, buddy, for lack of better words, I couldn't leave. I went back to this monster of a man. I said, buddy, I said, I was wrong a while ago. I said, I want to apologize. I was wrong. They're still having that party down there. He said, oh, they're having it. Yeah. I said, they're having it. I said, you going? He said, yeah, I believe I will. I said, well, it's a screaming party. I said, enjoy yourself, buddy. And buddy, it got quiet. Everybody's got left out of the shell, left us standing there. I said, you sure you want to go? He said, hey, buddy, I'm a Christian. I just pulled your string a little bit. He said, I'm sorry if I even made you mad. I said, it's all right, buddy. I said, just got to hold me a little bit. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, fear of man brings a snare. But I'll tell you what, the fear of the Lord is beginning of life, wisdom, health, everything. I have to admit, I couldn't walk away. I was trying to dodge an incident and it wouldn't go away. So that's one of us said, no, buddy, it's still having that party. But listen, the lost, they need to hear you. They need to hear what's saved. You know, when you got saved, I don't know how it was with you, but I was expecting to open my eyes in heaven and I didn't. And I thought, Lord, why am I not in heaven? And I thought, well, maybe there's something you want me to do down here. Let me know what it is and I'll do it. But I mean, I mean, heaven came down, and Brother Philip, I just thought when I opened my eyes, it'd be streets of gold and walls of jasper. I mean, I thought I'd be in heaven. But, you know, the Lord left us down there, and He said, occupy like him. And you know, we're His witnesses, and the lost, they need to hear saved people. They need to hear Him sing, amen. They need to hear Him pray, amen. They need to hear you worship God, amen. You notice there, verse 25? Said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them.
Yeah.
Don't do that little old mealy mouth. Jesus is all the world. I'm too loud, I know it. But I don't mind it. I'm glad God did give me a voice. I make no apologies for it. I've had people get up and move, and I don't mean to be that loud. It's just He's bigger than me. I can't contain what's in here, and every now and then I just have to pull out a little. Amen. I know I'm too loud. Everybody tells me, and I know it. They don't have to tell me, but I know I am. But I don't want to be the other way. Let's just find some way to find a way of singing, praising, praying so lost can hear what saved people do. Romans 10:14 says, how should they hear without a preacher? How should they preach except they be sent? We need to get the message to them. You know, there ain't no sense in putting it under a bushel and hiding it. Jesus said not to do that. He said a city set on a hill cannot be hid. We need to trim that wick, amen, and go out and light this world, amen. This world's in darkness. You got what they need, amen. Lost, they need to hear. The lost need help. Did you hear what this Philippian jailer said there? Look here. Verse number 30. Well, let's back up. Verse 29. This Philippian jailer, he was going to take his life. Paul cried out, you know, lost people, if you ain't careful, it'll be after the fact. They'll take their life. They'll do the unthinkable. I looked on the internet just a little bit this morning. An 11-year-old boy shot an 8-year-old girl with a shotgun because she wouldn't let him play with her puppy. Now that little girl goes straight to heaven. I don't know what y'all know about Bible, but where there's no law, sin's not imputed. And they're innocent. And heaven's going to be full of it. Matter of fact, Jesus one day took a little child and set him in the midst. And he said, except you become like him, you ain't going either. Now we need to condemn sin down just a little bit because pride goes before destruction. The Holy Spirit before a fall. You need to realize, buddy, God resists the proud, exalts the humble. Humble yourself as this little child, or you ain't going to heaven. Find out how to humble yourself and do it diligently, quickly, just like a little child. That's all we are, children of God. But he was going to take his life, and Paul said, do thyself no harm, we're all here. The Bible said he came in. Well, he sprang in. Yeah, I like that word. I'm not really sure what sprang means there, Renee, but I believe he was just in a hurry, you know. He sprang in, and he was trembling. Now, here's real important. He asked the right question. Listen, don't lose me right here. This is the most important part. Church, listen to me right here. Lost people, they're going to ask you a lot of questions. Like, where'd Cain get his wife at? I can't answer that. I can. I don't know if that sounds like can or not. I can answer that. Or they're going to ask, you know, like, you know, if God's God of love, why did my daddy die? Why did I have that car wreck? Why did this and why did that? Listen, don't be carried away with those. Stay with this one thing right here. They need Him. Until they get Him, they ain't never going to understand anything they need to understand. But now this Philippian jailer, first of all, he asked the right question. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's the first thing you need to do. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness while before death or the devil comes. Seek that first. He asked the right question. But even greater than that, he asked the right one. He asked somebody that was saved. Can you imagine going to a lost person and say, tell me what it means to be saved? He says, well, I'll tell you, well, I think about it. It's kind of like this right here. You know, you just kind of drive down the road, get feeling pretty good, and that's all there is to it. No, you got to be born again, friend. And you need to ask someone who has been born again so they can tell you what it's like to be born again. And if you ain't careful, you'll ask somebody and they'll make a twofold more child of hell of you than they are themselves. And there's a lot of that going on. And I will probably hammer on that here in just a minute here. But he asked the right question. He asked the right one to ask that question. And they gave him the right answer. Amen.
Amen.
That's three important things. Ask the right question. Ask the right one. And you'll get the right answer. Amen.
Yeah.
You see, I don't never want to hinder no one. But lost people need help. And I'm going to hit on that here in just a minute. In Acts chapter 8, we got a good example of what it means, what I'm talking about here. Look at Acts chapter number 8 real quick. Just follow along with me. I'm going to start reading number 26. It says, "Then the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Now, Philip's in a revival. I don't know if you know it or not, but you look up there in verse number 8, there was great joy in that city. And you look in verse 25, when it all testified and preached the word of God. I mean, he's right in the middle of revival. And here the angel of the Lord says, "Go down to the desert, boy." And the Bible said he arose and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. This is a lost man, but he's seeking God. And the Bible said, was returned and sat in his chair, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself." Now I kind of got reminded of that fact, what my wife said about them pearls of the swine here. The Spirit said, "Go join yourself." I kind of got to eat a little crow over that. I thought, okay, Lord, you give it to me again, all right? But you see, the Spirit told Philip, "Go join yourself to this chair." And he did. Now, when the Spirit tells you to do something, you need to do it. I was going to work one night. And I was driving my big Ford pickup truck. At that time, I loved it, big gold Ford pickup truck. And I stopped at Consumers Filling Station on the way to work. And John, the little redheaded boy that worked there at Consumers Filling Station, come out and said, "How much, Eddie?" I stopped there all the time. He knew me. I knew him. "How much, Eddie?" I said, "Fill her up, buddy." John, he got him a Harley. Got his black leather jacket on. Got his girlfriend, 18 years old, Todd. He's back there pumping my gas. You know what? Spirit of God came up on me. He said, "Go back there and talk to him about his soul." I'm Baptist, you know, so I'm trying to find the perfect track. I'm going through all my bouquet of tracks there. I've got there between my seat there, you know, and I'm trying to find that right one, you know, that I thought would be appropriate for little John here. I finally find me one. I walk up to John. He's pumping my gas. 18-year-old red-headed John. I open my mouth. I said, and a man stepped between me and John, between the pumps, before I could get a word out. Now, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And I thought I had plenty of time. And to be honest with you, I thought, I'll just talk to John the next time. He died that very night. Now, I've got his blood on my hands. There's nothing I can do about that. As a matter of fact, Ezekiel said, if you don't warn the wicked of his way, that God will require his blood at your hand. I did not realize this situation at the time, that John only had... Now look, John might not have even took the track. John might not have even listened. But I could have got his blood off my hand. When the Spirit of God says, go talk to someone, if he's saved and you know the Lord, by all means, go and be obedient. That's what Philip's doing. He's being obedient. John was at a party that night, just a young boy, 18. I don't know if we got any 18-year-old boys there tonight. But he's at the party. You know how I've done it. We all act like a fool, and he's over drinking. And for lack of better words, you just go further and further and party till somebody dies, and you try to figure out how to get back going again. He's at the party. He's big and drunk, and he's got a gun out, and he's playing with it. And his girlfriend said, "John, put that gun up or somebody gets hurt." He said, "It ain't loaded. Put it in his head and blow his brains out." And the devil loved it. But what bothers me is I've got John's blood on my hands. I'll have to answer to God for that. God said, I told you to go talk to him about his soul. Now that's why it's so important to obey the Spirit. Philip obeyed the Spirit. He goes down here. Here's this Ethiopian eunuch. He's reading Isaiah chapter 53. And it, you know, the Bible said, the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them that are foolish unto him. But he, the spiritual, knoweth all things, for God has revealed them to him through the mind of Christ. There in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 there. So here Philip is, he's obeying God, and he comes down here because the Spirit told him to join himself to it. Verse 30 said he ran to him. Philip ran hither and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest what thou readest?" Now he's being polite here. He didn't jump up there and be all blunt, you know, and you do need to have a little bit of grace about it. But he asked a legitimate question here. "Do you understand what you read?" is what he said. Look here what this lost man said, verse 31. And he said unto him, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Not only do the lost people need to hear, not only do the lost people want help, but they'll ask you for help. And you need to be ready to give a man an answer that asks you a question of a reason of hope that's within you. You need to study your Bible and be ready. You might be driving down the road tonight and you might come up on a car wreck and you might say, "I gotta go get the preacher," and the preacher can't be gone in time, and that soul go out to eternity. Lost, Lord God, I'm telling you, that's the way life is. Amen.
Amen.
You need to learn a little bit of Bible. At least learn enough Bible to be able to tell someone with a Bible or from the Bible in your heart how to be saved. Now listen, Christ Jesus came to this world to save sinners. That was His whole mission. Was come down here, gave His life a ransom for many to be testified in due time. He finished the work, gone home, left the work to us. We're the workmen now of God. We're His hand, His feet. We're His mouth. We're the ones that go out and proclaim the glad tidings. This lost man, he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" Lost need to hear. Lost need help. Lost are going to hell. Make no mistake about it, friend. God is gracious.
Amen.
He's good. He's long-suffering. He's patient. Jesus said, "As I see, I judge." You die in your sins, you'll stand guilty before God. Jesus will say, John chapter 5, verse 40, "How I longed you to come unto me and you would not." He said, "You would not come to me that you might have life." Friend, He's the door of heaven. He's the only way you'll ever make it to heaven.
Amen.
Neither is there salvation any other, no other name given unto heaven, Acts 4:12, except the name Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. That He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. If you're a lost person here tonight, you got to get to Jesus. You might need someone's help to get there, but it's not hard. The devil will tell you God won't forgive you. God said otherwise. God said, "Come now, saith the Lord. Let us reason again." He's a reasonable God. He said, "Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson," He said, "I'll make them as wool." He's a very reasonable God. He's a very loving God. He's a very forgiving God. As a matter of fact, He's plenteous in mercy. His mercies are new every morning. His compassions fail not. And it's of His mercies you're not consumed already in the fires of hell. So don't drag your feet. But make no mistake about it, friend. He's not no respecter of persons.
Amen.
If you die in your sins, you'll hear the saddest words ever spoken from the lips of a man. He'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Now, I don't want nobody to have to go through that, but a lot of people are going to. They said it not, like the preacher said. They said it not, all the counsel of God. Wouldn't none of the reproof of God. Wouldn't let God be God. They thought, "Well, yeah, you know, I'm all right. I got plenty of time." I remember hearing a story about a 16-year-old girl. Somebody witnessed to her. She said, "I've got my whole life ahead of me. I've got plenty of time." She died that night. I ain't trying to scare you, just trying to get through. See, the devil, the Bible said, the god of this world blinds the minds.
Amen.
Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into them. I was in darkness for 34 years. I was a fool's fool. I thought, boy, I was a man's man, and I was to some degree. But I'm a better man now that I'm saved. I know what I've been forgiven of. I know what he had to go through just to say, Eddie, go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. And they put that crown of thorns upon his lovely brow. There was no other way. When they beat him beyond recognition, he allowed it. There was no other way. When they drove those nails in his hands and in his feet, he allowed it. There was no other way. When they mocked and made fun of him and said, come down, if thou be the Christ, we'll believe you. If he had came down, humanity would never be able to be saved. I'm saying he's the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world, and he suffered and died for the joy up before him that an old drunk like Eddie Wade could come one day and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he could say, you're forgiven. And Ephesians 4:32 says, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. You remember on the cross, in the book of Luke, Jesus said, Father, forgive them for his sake. Eddie Wade was forgiven. That chapter, Isaiah 53, said God saw the travail of his soul. Soul of his son on the cross. And he said he's satisfied. He said if he's willing to suffer that much for sinners, I'll accept that suffering for their salvation on their behalf. They can be forgiven of their sins because he is so willing to suffer. There's such contradiction of sinners against himself. Listen, lost people need to hear. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We become silent. That's how come the gays come out of the closet. Do you know that, I'm not trying to get political here, I just want to inform you here, but did you know that homosexuality is illegal in India? They want nothing to do with it. And yet our government just sent billions of your tax dollars, my tax dollars over there, to further the LGBT lifestyle in India. Your tax dollars went to India. I mean, buddy, I'll tell you where it started at. It started in the church. God said, preach precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, what thus saith the Word of God. Plead with them, pray over them, preach to them. Because one day they're going to stand before God. And they're either going to say, that preacher didn't tell me. Or they're going to say, he told me. And I wouldn't receive the message. And I'm guilty of dying in my sins and guilty of hellfire. You know, Jesus told them Pharisees, you generation of vipers, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? There's only one way of escape. They wanted nothing to do with him. He said, search the scriptures. In St. John chapter 5, verse 39, he said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think. Now don't get mixed up here. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. See, there's a lot of people think they have eternal life. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16 says, there's a way that seems right unto a man. There's a lot of ways down here. Hey, you can... I really don't want to go here, but you can be a Jehovah's Witness. You can be a Mormon and some other cult. Just don't die that way. If you die that way, buddy, your way that seems right. The Bible said there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way thereof is death. You'll stand before God guilty. You'll stand before God in your sins. And to your horror, you'll hear Him say, depart from me, you cursed, to the everlasting fire, the birth of the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41, if you want to look it up.
Amen.
God doesn't want nobody to go to hell. He stands between the sinner and hell. He's kind of like, what's it, the goalie tries to keep the volleyball or whatever. That's what he does. And some people are so determined, they try to find some way around him. Lost people, they need to hear us, beloved. They need to hear you speaking off about the Lord. They need to hear you, them gospel hymns. You know, I don't know about y'all, if anybody rides my truck, and my old cousin, he got big and mad like an old wet hen. He didn't want to hear that gospel singing, but he needed to. Pretty soon, it wasn't too long, boy, he got through. He said, what time's church start tonight? Woo! Let me get over here, I won't bust nobody's eardrums. Woo! What time's church start tonight? I said, 6 o'clock. To my amazement, he showed up. I still remember him sitting out here. I still remember him just falling down. I'm sorry. They need to hear. He wasn't lost. He just needed to get out of the far country, back in the Father's house. He just got away from 99. God somehow put him in my car. Somehow God got his thoughts turned around. And he got to thinking about how good it was in the Father's house. And he said, I'll arise and go to my Father's house. And he come out of the whole lot and to praise God, the fellowship of God again. Wonderful. They need to hear. They need help. And here's why. Lost people are going to hell. Now, I told this illustration, and some people here wasn't here, but I'll tell it one more time. My brother-in-law came to my house. I first got saved, all my family thought I had rabies or something. They was all afraid to come by because they knew what I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about their soul, hell, and the Bible. And anyway, one of them finally dropped in on me, my wife's younger brother, Garrett. And you know, I got to talking to him, Todd, and he knew I was going to talk to him, so he thought he'd evade all the issue I was talking about there. And he said, I want to go to hell. I said, is that right, Garrett? He said, yeah, I want to go to hell. I said, you don't mind proving it, do you? He said, I will. What do I need to do? I just reached over. You know, the Bible says be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. So being wise as a serpent, I just turned the kitchen range there on high, and they got good and cherry red there, you know, all lit up there real good. And I said, Garrett, you want to go to hell? Yeah! Yeah! I said, lay your face right there on that burner. I said, that won't kill you. It'll give you a scar, but it'll be just a superficial scar. And I said, you say you want to go to hell? Lay your face on that burner and prove it. But he felt like a sack of taters right there in front of that kitchen range and said, oh God, I don't want to go to hell. I want to be forgiven. I want to be saved. Sometimes you just got to get extreme. That might not be orthodox, but I did it. It worked. It got him thinking eternally about that place called torment. Who in their right mind would be dumb enough to lay their face on the burner of a range and it glowing red? And yet, who in their mind would take a chance of pilling their head tonight and closing their eyes with the reality of this fact that if you close your eyes lost, you may wake up in hell? I still remember this young boy right here, boy, being afraid to close my eyes and not knowing that I was lost, knowing that I could wake up in hell. Boy, I wish we had some of that today. And if you're here lost tonight, you'll think about that, because the lost are going to hell. Let me say to the saved, won't you care? Won't you even pray for them? Would you even maybe call or invite them to come? The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 18, that the righteous are going to be scarcely saved. It says, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? If you want to know where the ungodly and the sinner is going to appear, you read Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, talking about the great white throne judgment. And John the Revelator said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, whose face the heaven and earth fled away and there's found no place for them. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. How the sea gave up those which in it, and death and hell gave up those which in it, and they stood, and the books were open. They were judged out of those things written in those books, and whosoever was not found written in the book alive was cast alive in the lake of fire. It's the second death. You want to know how bad that lake of fire is? Read the last verse of the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, the very last verse of the book of Isaiah. You know what it says? It says they'll walk over and they'll look at the carcasses of those in that lake of fire. You want somebody to see you down there in the lake of fire? Say, hey, I thought you saved. You can't even look up, or you're in such agony. You can't do anything. You're suffering so greatly because you're paying the price that Jesus had to pay so you could have a home in heaven. And you turned down the gift of God. And now here's people walking over and they're looking down there and saying, I thought you told me you saved. I thought it was well with you. Why didn't you tell me you was lost? Ain't that going to be bad? People walk over and look down. And you're supposed to be there on the streets of gold. You're supposed to be over there with a multitude no man can number of every kindred, tongue, and nation. And here you are and people's walking over and looking at you. Think about that for a minute. Think about eternity for a minute. Where will you spend eternity? It all hinges on what shall I do with this Jesus,
amen,
which is called Christ. He's either going to be your Savior or He's going to be your judge.
That's right.
He's ready right now to judge the quick and the dead. That means the living and the dead. And He's going to judge. And you ain't going to have no Philadelphia lawyer to kind of lie your way out of it. You're going to stand before God. And I'll tell you right now, the books are going to be open.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad, praise God, preacher, mine's got blank pages. They've been blotted out.
Amen.
Because I'll tell you right now, buddy, I was guilty, but I've been redeemed.
Yes.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. I'm glad, praise God, all my pages are blank, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that makes you sleep better. Hallelujah. But if there's any... if there's any doubt at all, if there's any concern at all, get it fixed tonight.
Right.
Little John, I wish I'd have had enough sense that night. I don't know who that boy was that stepped between them gas pumps, but I do remember this. And I didn't get a word out. I still remember. He's pumping my gas. I loved him. Talked to him a lot. But that night, God told me, go back there and talk to him about his soul. Just like he told Philip, go down and join himself to this Ethiopian eunuch. I did not understand the urgency of this matter. John went out to meet God that night. The only thing I've got to say about that, and I could be wrong, and I don't think I am, but I might get to heaven, and John might have said, Eddie, I know God told you to warn me. And while I was dying, I remembered all them scriptures you had on your truck as I was pumping your gas. And I was begotten by the Word. I just didn't want nobody to know, but I may see Him. I don't know. None of us know. I mean, some of the people you think is going to be in heaven ain't going to be there. And some of the ones you think ain't going to be there are going to be there. I'll tell you right now, the Bible says the foundation of God, standing sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone name the name of Christ apart from iniquity. I'm just telling you, buddy, this is real. This ain't no fairy tale. I'm telling you, their books will be open. You'll stand either guilty or forgiven before God one day.
Amen.
I hope that you make an eternal decision tonight. If you're not saved, I would to God that tonight you come up here and say, Brother Eddie, I was at a church service one time. A neighbor invited me. He said, we're having a Bible. Won't you come? Well, I went. They gave the invitation. And a woman on my back pulling an oxygen bottle with one hand and wiping tears with the other hand. Made her way down here to the altar. Nobody joined her. And I'm looking around. I'm looking at the preacher. I went to school with him. I'm saying, he said, and I got up and they tackled me. They did. They tackled me. I never went back. I don't know if that woman went to hell or not. She was on the altar crying. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. She's about 80 years old. Somebody help me. I want to be saved. Boy, when it gets that bad, we're out of business. I can't save no one. I know I can't. But I can help. You see, Philip helped that Ethiopian eunuch. I didn't read it all. I read it all. He went down and baptized him. If you got the right Bible, verse 37 is in there. If you ain't got the right Bible, that verse 37 ain't going to be in there. But if you got the right Bible, it's in there. And before Philip baptized him, he said, if thou believest, thou mayest. That verse is verse 37. He said, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's good enough, buddy. I'll tell you right now. He that comes to God must believe that He is. Let me throw this in there real quick. That rich young ruler come running to Jesus. Good master. What good thing must I do to have eternal life? Jesus just throw a little curveball out there. Why call me good? There ain't nothing good but God. You see, if you can't see Him as God, He can't help you. All he could see was a good master. So the Lord, he loved him. He said, well, keep the commandments. He said, 3 or 4 commandments. He said, all these I've kept from my youth up. One thing lackest thou. See, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. You're always going to be one thing lacking without Him.
That's
right. Now, if you want to work your way to heaven, He said, go sell all you got, come follow me. But you know what? He went away at that saying, sorrowful, because he had great possessions. You ain't got nothing greater than possessions that he's got.
Amen.
That would have been a good trade. Zacchaeus said, Lord, he bound and got saved. He said, Lord, he said, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've wronged any man, I restore him fourfold. I guarantee he got something, amen. When a man can let go of the world and say, woo! Half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've wronged any man, I restore him fourfold. Listen, beloved, this is real. If you're saved tonight, I ain't going to worry about you. I've done my best. I pleaded with you. I've prayed for you. I've preached to you. But if you're here not lost, I'll promise you this. If you come up here, Brother Philip, Brother Eddie, come pray with me. We'll be there. We'll try our best to help you. Not only Jesus can save you, but we'll pray with you. We'll answer your questions. We'll help you to understand what you got to do to be saved, but you got to do it. I tell them, look, you, with your mouth, Romans 10:9, with the mouth, with your mouth, you got to say, I'm a sinner. I want to be forgiven. I want to be saved. It says, with your mouth, confession is made. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. That's 2 steps. You got to make. You got to confess your sinner. You got to believe in the forgiving Savior. Them 2 steps are essential to being saved. And the next verse, just take him at his word. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the simplicity, the plainness of the gospel, of the plan of salvation, that even a child can get saved. We still remember little Kaylee that come forward, Lord, and got saved. Young girl, about 7, 8 years old. And Lord, her tears stains still on the altar up there at Columbia. We thank you, Lord, for that precious testimony. I said, is everything all right? She said, Brother Eddie, I'm praying to get saved. I said, you go right ahead, young lady. Help yourself. What a blessing, Lord, that was to see you save that little girl. Lord, to see her, Lord, singing for the Lord now in church and bringing others to the family of God. We thank you for little Kaylee. Lord, is there one like that here tonight, Lord? Is there one here tonight, Lord? It's just 1 step from eternity. Is there one here tonight, Lord, that you tugged on our heart so heavy to preach upon getting saved? Lord, is there one like that here tonight? If there is, Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit of God will be the usher tonight that will get them up here at this altar and get them saved. Whatever you do, Lord, we give you the praise and the glory. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask everybody to stand. I'll get the pastor, Brother Philip, please, to come up here.